Is that something you would have supported? And if so, why? And if not, what would you have preferred to do in its place?
I would have supported it, and I would have supported it for a couple of important reasons. First of all, Alaska is a resource development state, and resource development will grind to a halt if credit markets don't work, because if we don't have the investment capital that's needed to do the resource development, whether it's timber harvests or mining or buying new fish boats, we're not going to be able to do resource development here, and it's bad for Alaska's economy, and it's bad for Alaska's jobs. The other thing to think about is that the Permanent Fund is one of Alaska's huge assets, and if the financial markets crater, which is how John McCain described it, then the Permanent Fund takes a massive hit. We've already seen it go from about $40 billion to $30 billion, and we need to protect the Permanent Fund for a host of reasons that go far beyond the simple dividend. I also know that, like most Alaskans, my retirement fund took a I'm afraid to even open the envelope at this point, and we're going to have to correct that. So if we think that the $700 billion is the end of the story, it isn't. There's a lot more that has to be done. We have to start to implement structural changes, fix the economy, make sure that it's rewarding people and protecting people who work and who harvest value from the land and the sea. And it's not just simply about protecting the investors who make money off those who work. There's two other components that people need to be aware of that's in this bill, because there's a lot more to come as part of it, and there's a lot more regulation that has to happen. But the forest receipts is really critical to Southeast Alaska, I think. It makes sure that there's money for school districts, and that was part of the package. The other thing is there was ways of income averaging for people who were plaintiffs in the Exxon Valdez case, and that's critical for not just Southeast but all of Alaska.
Key program for Southeast Alaska is the Forest Receipt Program, actually now called Secure Rural Schools, which replaced the Forest Receipt Program a while back and was just renewed under this bailout package. It will expire again in 4 years. As a congressman, what would you do, what would your strategy be to get that renewed as the federal government continues to face amazingly tough economic decisions?
I believe firmly that when the government makes a promise, it has to keep a promise. As Robert Service said, a promise made is a debt unpaid. And the promise we made to the communities that depended on timber, not just in Alaska but across the country, was that if America didn't let timber harvesting occur the way it had occurred historically, we would, in essence, receive compensation for not being allowed to cut trees. And that should continue. We do it for farmers in the lower 48. We pay farmers not to grow things, and it should continue. It makes sense when you think beyond when you think about the implications. It makes a lot of sense.
If you're facing a bill where a key component like Secure Rural Schools is in there, yet the overall point of the bill is something you disagree with, how would you approach that? How would you deal with that?
Well, I faced those kind of situations when I served in Juneau, as I was in the state legislature for 10 years. And you have to look at it issue by issue. And you can never compromise on your principles and your values. And that's really a critical thing. You also have to recognize that a particular bill doesn't necessarily mean the end of a line for an interest that you might be serving. And people need to have assurances, and I'm given those assurances, that I will always do my best to represent all of Alaska and stand up for Alaska's interests. So that's how I look at things, is the legislature is not locked in stone. One bill is not the final answer to any single issue.
Do you support the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's recent decision to incorporate the charter halibut fleet into a catch-sharing plan with a commercial fleet?
You know, that's a hard-fought battle that's gone on for years and years. And you had, it seems to me, the decision was 10-1 at the council level, and that speaks to a tough decision being made in a fairly consensus sort of way. And we ought to give it a chance to work.
Even though some congressmen will say, well, this isn't something they would be involved in. Congress has played a role and does play a role in various fishery management decisions. Do you think Congress should play a role in decisions that are made by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, at least in terms of responding with legislation that might affect the implementation of those decisions or whatever, or taking an active role in that sort of management?
Congress should never have any part at all in allocation decisions. But what Congress ought to do is make sure that the policy guidance is available for the council. And what what should also happen, and this is me speaking as an Alaskan, is we need to make sure that the council represents Alaska's interests, because we're talking about harvesting Alaska's fish, and we ought to do it on terms that represent our state's best interest.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but maybe you are, actually. A large group of homeowners in Petersburg has been concerned for some time over the possibility of logging on the steep mental health trust lands that are above their property along Mitkoff Highway. What they've been pushing for, and the trust has been looking at and working on with the Forest Service, is a potential land exchange that would provide the trust with comparable commercial timber lands that are not adjacent to a residential neighborhood. The Forest Service, in turn, would then take over the land adjacent to this residential neighborhood in Petersburg. As a congressperson, would you be willing to support something like that if it was going to go through? Because there's a couple different means that something like that could happen, one of which would be through congressional action. Would you support that idea?
I apologize for not knowing about that issue, and this is one of the things that makes it a challenge to represent all of Alaska, and I'm looking forward to learning about it. But if there's a consensus in a community that a land swap is in the community's best interest, then I'll work hard to make sure that that land swap occurs.
The tough part there is that it might occur to, you know, it would depend, I guess, on whether there's other communities that are affected by the swap on the other side of things, I guess.
But you've got to make sure that the process is open and that the public has a meaningful chance to participate. And when you're talking about any kind of resource development and the process that's involved, it has to be a legitimate process. And I'm concerned about the fact that during the Murkowski administration, the state eroded some of the ability of communities to have meaningful participation in resource development decisions. And we've got to have trust in the process. But once the process works, and it should be given a fair opportunity to work, you have to respect its decision as the rule of law. So I will work with communities to make sure that they get what they feel that they need. And I will work hard to make sure that the process gives communities and individuals a chance to weigh in a meaningful fashion.
There's a couple of different bills that your opponents supported or proposed in Congress, and I wanted to ask your perspective on them, one of which is the Sea Alaska Lands Bill, and another is a bill that would turn over, I believe, about 2 million acres of federal Tongass lands to the state, with the idea being that those that would open up those lands for timber harvest. Sea Alaska Lands Bill obviously would open up more lands for harvest. Do you have perspectives on those two bills?
Well, the truth is about the Sea Alaska bill is Don Young took one approach and Lisa Murkowski took another. And Don Young took a confrontational approach and excited a lot of opposition in Sitka. They were getting ready to do a resolution against it. Huna is angry beyond measure about what Don Young was proposing because it was just confrontational and it ignored what people on the ground were concerned with. Lisa Murkowski's bill and Lisa Murkowski's approach was much more of a consensus-building approach. It brought people together. It created a win-win situation. And so I'd look forward to supporting a Lisa Murkowski kind of approach to this. She did a great job with the issue and deserves credit for having solved the problem, unlike Don Young, who aggravated it. As far as the land swap bill, you know, this is one of the problems that Don Young has in Congress, is there's a difference between what we call show bills and go bills. Show bills are things that you draw up to show your constituents that you're standing up for them, but they're never actually going to go anywhere. They're not going to actually pass. And the swap that he's talking about just doesn't have traction in Congress. And when you know, it's a little bit like the boy who cries wolf. If you keep producing show bills, you lose your effectiveness. And Don Young has an awful lot of show bills under his belt.
If you were elected, we don't know obviously what will happen with the Senate race, but you'd be working with a Republican colleague, at least one Republican colleague in the Senate, and it sounds like you have you've worked with Lisa Murkowski before as a legislator.
She's a good friend.
And yeah, tell me about what you expect your relationship would be like in terms of colleagues in Congress with a Republican on the Senate side.
Lisa Murkowski is a good friend. We got to know each other very well when we served in the state legislature together. I visit her when I go back to D.C. as is, and I would expect that to continue.
Tell me a bit about some of your priorities. If you were elected to Congress, what would you be focusing on to begin with, and maybe what committees would you be most interested in?
I'm most interested in serving on the Energy and Commerce Committee because, to me, energy is at the intersection of most of the major issues that the state and the country confront. And we've got to do something about the high cost of energy in Alaska because the course we've been on hasn't worked for us. We pay the highest cost of any state in the union for our energy, and it's crushing our families. It's hard on our rural communities. Our coastal communities, our fishing communities are having a real tough time of things, and we've got to do better. And we need to do better with solutions beyond simply saying we're going to open ANWR and develop a natural gas pipeline, because we have an oil line running through the state right now. We still have high prices. A gas line, if it comes online, isn't going to materialize for another 10 or 12 years. We've got to find a way of delivering gas to communities now. We've got to find ways of using local renewable resources. And there are plenty of renewable resources. Southeast Alaska has abundant biomass. Down in Craig, they're using biomass to fuel some of their local operations. We can do things with that. We can do things with tidal energy. Alaska has 90% of America's tidal potential. We have to tap into that. We have to use more hydropower. There's opportunities for in-stream hydro. There's geothermal prospects. There's wind prospects. We've got it all. We're just not using it, and we've got to start using it.
As you know, pretty well know as well as I do, Alaska's been in the news a lot lately, and not necessarily for the good in terms of the corruption cases ongoing, and as well as some controversy with the governor running for vice president over the Troop Brigade issue, and so on, issues over earmarks and federal funding for Alaska. If you were elected to Congress, how would you overcome this image that Alaska seems to be getting more and more in the United States in terms of federal funding and so on, so that you could be effective in bringing back federal funding for important projects for places like Petersburg? What would your strategy be to try and sort of improve the state's reputation in that regard?
Well, there's a couple of things. People need to look at my record a little bit. I was the one who stood up on the House floor when oil lobbyists were attempting and actually were corrupting the state legislature, and I pointed it out at the time. And what I did impressed Sarah Palin so much that she asked me to be one of the architects of her ethics proposal that unfortunately didn't go as far ultimately as I would like to have gone. And when people talk about changing Alaska's image, we've got to change how we do business in Washington, D.C. We can't change our image if we send the same people back to Congress, and we've got to have change. And if people think that we're going to be able to capture the amount of money that we once had, I wish I could say that it was going to be that way, but we're already down 25% off our high water mark. And given the economic distress that the country's in, we can't have as our sole focus and the sole way of gauging the effectiveness of our congressmen how much money they bring back. The effectiveness can come in making sure that programs like the Denali Commission are there, that we have appropriate earmarks to maybe help our ferry system be more affordable and more reliable. But we also can gauge our effectiveness by what we do to have an impact on legislation that's working its way through Congress. And one example of a kind of legislation that can have profound impact on Alaska is any kind of legislation that deals with climate change, because climate change legislation has the opportunity and the potential of being a great asset to this state. It can create business opportunities for us, and it can be a source of great revenue if we position ourselves in the right place for it. So our effectiveness, or my effectiveness, should be judged by far more than how much money I can bring back to the state. It should be judged by how we change the structure of what goes on in Washington and how much of a player you can be in the major decisions that Congress is going to make.
Anything I mean, there's a million issues I haven't asked about, but is there anything particular that you'd want to add that I haven't asked you about in this interview?
This is what I want to say, which is come November 5th, we're all going to go back to being, and we should remember this at all times. This is one state, and this is one country. And I've listened to a lot of the rhetoric that's gone on, which personalizes the kind of politics we're engaged in. And when you personalize the politics, and when the attacks are about individuals, you're trivializing the issues that we all confront. And the issues that we face as Alaskans and as Americans are too big and too serious to be reduced by petty sound bites. And so we've got to expect more of the people who serve us, and we've got to participate in the political process, because I believe in the potential of the state and the potential of this country, and we have to be the people that we're supposed to be.